What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Behind the Counter. I'm Rich Stambolian. With me, as always, is the king of Cozy Mel's, John Redbone Adler.
Where do they sell Cozy Mel's?
Cozy Mel's is in Long Island.
What is it again? They sell like little couches,
no.
Right?
That's
Cozy Mel's?
It's a terrible...
It's like a old Jewish guy that sells little armoires.
Cozy Mel's. Cozy Mel's. It's a subpar Mexican restaurant.
Come down to Cozy Mel's.
Oh, yes. Like Chi-Chi's and...
Yeah,
Chi-Chi's.
You know what? Like, Cozy Mel's ain't bad if you want to get a quick bite, but...
You know what I was thinking about the other day? We don't have any good Spanish food outside of Jackson Heights. Everything else is really...
Hokey.
No Taco Bell. Don't do it.
No.
Have you been to Cinco de Mayo?
Which one's that?
On Bell.
No.
Awful. That's the Asian run one, right?
No. No, that's Taco Palace.
But Cinco de Mayo is the same
Taco
thing.
Cinco de Mayo is like a margarita place. But it's like...
Oh,
yeah.
It's awful.
It's much better than... what's the one down there?
Tequila Sunrise.
I'm pretty sure is just a front for some other operation.
It's really bad.
It is like embarrassingly bad Mexican food.
I agree with that. Well, you have Patron on Northern, but I wouldn't really typify that as like authentic.
I think Patron is. I think they've gone down. They've were great when they were a full blown clubbing restaurant, but they've slowly been going with a more Mexican motif.
Yeah.
And the menu is going more towards just like burritos, tacos, and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think that's not. I feel like Five Boroughs is amazing.
But it's always been, you know, good. I think it's dropped also in quality too.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a while. I haven't been there in a while.
But Jackson Heights has everything.
I went to that weird place in Jackson Heights where it's like a Colombian restaurant, but it's like the Spanish Hooters. You know what I'm talking about?
The one where you dance with girls?
These girls are like wearing like nothing and they serve you. It's the most bizarre thing in the world. The food was phenomenal, but like it's really weird. Like really weird guys come in; they're really into the girls. The whole thing.
That's cool.
I'm trying to find which one it was. I can't remember the name.
This is also the show about tacos, Mexican food, and salsa.
I had a long day yesterday, and I went. I was in the city already. And I went to go pick up my wife and like stuck in traffic.
And you're like, my wife.
Yeah. Stuck in traffic. I'm like, I'm going to go home and make some goddamn tacos later. And I did. And they were awesome.
So yeah. When you make it at home, they're incredible. Yeah. That's the closest thing you're getting to good Spanish food. That's
okay. It's Listo El Pollo. Uh-huh.
Like
that's the name
ready?
Of the place. Yeah. Listo El Pollo.
Sweet.
No lunch tomorrow.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
Did you see Godzilla?
I did not yet.
I was so hyped for this. I saw it this week. I saw two blockbuster movies back to back. So Godzilla and I saw Edge of Tomorrow.
How's Edge of Tomorrow?
Edge of Tomorrow's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
It's like there was some dude sitting down watching or some Japanese guy writing a comic book going like, oh man, I wish like Groundhog Day had exoskeletons and miniguns and aliens. Boom. Edge of Tomorrow was born.
How Mass Effect-y was Edge of Tomorrow?
Not much. It's more like Colonial Marine style stuff than anything.
Okay.
Where it's just like, you know, the tough Marines with exoskeletons. It's awesome.
So it's like Gears of War.
It's a little bit, but it's fun. It's a fun movie. Godzilla, piece of garbage.
Really?
Absolute piece of shit.
Uh-huh.
Way too long, but he looks friggin' incredible.
Yeah.
If the movie was in half an hour and just Godzilla fighting monsters in the city, perfect. But it's only 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
That stuff is so goddamn good.
It's the lead up.
Yeah.
From what I hear, the next couple of movies are going to just be all monster shit.
That's great. If that's you could kind of tell that's where they were going. Like, this was the same reason why I think Godzilla movies back in the day were really boring. It was mostly just people in like a nuclear silo. Yeah. Like gangly stressed out, which is the same thing with this, but with Bryan Cranston.
That's how you get stressed out.
Yeah. But it was really, really disappointing. Very disappointing.
I got around to watching Captain America 2.
And?
Finally. I loved it.
I think it's one of the best.
It's definitely one of the best. The crazy thing about that movie is that they really kick you in the face with like the espionage, like the political stuff, you know, as they should because it's the Winter Soldier story. But they did it pretty seamlessly, how they worked it in and, you know, the comic book stuff. I love Scarlett Johansson, but I'm not sold on her as Black Widow.
She's not Black Widow.
Yeah. But I love her.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. If she's listening, and I heard she's a fan of the show. I love you, Scarlett Johansson.
We like it.
And I saw Spidey 2.
Didn't like it so much.
Finally. I really dug it.
I didn't like it so much, but how awesome was that ending?
The ending was fantastic. They picked a great kid to be Harry Osborn.
Yes.
Because he looks like a goblin.
He does look like a
goblin. And he's a good actor, too.
Yes.
I don't agree with the makeup, though.
Yeah, it looks like crap. And I also don't like the fact that they just write off Norman like that. Hopefully that's for later in the game.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name is terrible, too. Electro.
I didn't mind him so much.
Come on. That was like, I read a review recently about it, and he brought up a good point. I remember who it was, so I'm going to cite somebody who I don't, could be a Phantom, could be anybody. He said basically that all the Electro stuff was like the dancing stuff in Spider-Man 3, which I really agree with. It was like so.
That's interesting. Okay.
Nutty Professor, like so hammy, where everything, like, the Harry storyline's awesome. It's a good driving part of the storyline. The Rhino bookends were really great. Mm. But there's certain like weird Sam Raimi crap seeping into that movie.
Yeah.
It's tainted.
People want to see the hokey.
I don't want the hokey. I want Spider-Man to be funny. I want him to be fun, but not so much.
The dream that we're not going to get probably until we're like middle-aged is Spidey showing up in an Avengers movie.
I think they're going to work it out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I have faith that they're going to work it out, but Fox and Marvel will never work it out.
Yeah, yeah. They'll do it.
But you loved Winter Soldier. How awesome was Winter Soldier himself?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
The whole movie was great. I liked, what's his name is the Falcon.
Yeah, he was good.
I'm forgetting everybody's names now.
Batroc was awesome.
Batroc was awesome.
Yeah.
He's apparently, making, Ultimate Fighting comeback at some point.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like him.
So hit me with some news, man.
News this week. The big news that came out, a couple days ago was, The Rock. We playing Black Adam.
Who's that?
Black Adam is the anti-hero version, as Rock puts it, of Shazam. He's the aging Egyptian counterpart to Captain Marvel.
Now, I know who Black Adam is. Who's The Rock?
Who's The Rock? The Rock is a small-time independent actor.
made a couple of flicks. Not real big box office.
No. My favorite Rock movie, by the way, is Pain and Gain, followed by Rundown.
Pain and Game is phenomenal. Rundown is also phenomenal. Hidden Island? Am I thinking the right one?
Hidden Island.
Hidden Island 2.
Monkey Island?
No, he did like an island movie. Journey to the Center of the Earth 2.
Oh, yeah. I never saw the whole thing, but the parts I did see were funny.
Not bad. Guy's amazing.
We don't even know what Black Adam is appearing in. Because apparently they just shot down the rumor that this is for the Batman Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
This is he just signing up for Black Adam just to be in something. I bet it's gonna be used up in like the Flash TV show.
Yeah, I feel like he tied his sail to the wrong ship. And like if he was like, I've waited all my life to be this person, and it's friggin' Namor, you know.
I think that's what they're doing, is they're signing up all these guys because there's so much Marvel crap coming down that it's like we gotta get like some big names. We need Jason Momoa. We need The Rock. Ben Affleck.
Jason Momoa. You can't put Jason Momoa and The Rock in two movies. You can't have a Samoan in Hawaiian. Samoan in Hawaiian.
The
Samoans. Who
says Samoans?
The Samoans are made of ham. I think he's awesome or whatever. I was trying to remember a couple of Rock movies. Walking Tall is probably like my least favorite Rock movie. But he's great in the Fast and Furious.
Was he a Tooth Fairy?
Yes, he was a Tooth Fairy. He's great in the Fast and Furious movies.
He was. He's awesome as a high-class murdering ex-lawman.
Right. Yeah, that's his strong suit. He's great in the, Too Cool?
Too Cool.
Yeah, that's like the sequel to Get Shorty. He's like the gay bodyguard.
Oh, he was good in that. Yeah.
Pain and Gain's phenomenal. I think Pain and Gain's number one.
Yeah.
Because that movie
Be Cool.
Be Cool, yeah.
That's Too Cool.
What did I say? Too Cool?
Too Cool.
Ooh. Too sweet, brother.
I think he'll do a fine job. I'm glad they did Black Adam as opposed to Shazam.
Yeah.
Whatever this project is.
You know who'd be my perfect Shazam?
Hmm.
John Hamm.
John Hamm. Shazam. Is that why? Shazam.
I feel like he has the chin for it.
Yeah, I think he has superhero in his future. I think we both said when we first saw him that he was supposed to be Bruce Wayne in another reality.
Yeah.
I think once Mad Men ends, he's going to make a lot of strange choices, and I think it's definitely showing up in a DC movie.
Oh, yeah.
He's like Dr. Midnight or something.
Yeah, I think he's going to get saddled with one of the weird ones, like, Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, and he's going to be like George Clooney 10 years, like, I was barely in that movie.
Yeah. Another kind of cool thing that happened this week was that Liam Neeson said he will be... He
would.
He would, if they asked me, He'd be Ra's al Ghul in the on the Arrow.
Yeah. Use him for just use him for the Gotham show then.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you could, since he's an immortal, just have him show up on Gotham.
Yeah, he's more tied to Gotham than Star City on Arrow. But Arrow's good. You know, it's a weird show because they incorporate a lot of Batman stuff in it.
They have to make it cool somehow. Yeah. I mean, Arrow does not have this like arm's length rogues gallery, but apparently he does now.
Oh, he definitely does. Like everybody hates the guy.
Yeah.
As so many people have showed up on the show.
So you're dedicated now.
I'm in. I'm not done with the first season yet, but like I'm in it now. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go on this ride. I like where it's going. I like the fact that he still kind of murders people. So far, so good. And everybody's showing up. Like I just watched like the two Huntress episodes, which weren't bad, you know. And they kind of like stuck to her origin.
You heard they're bringing back the Secret Sex?
In comic book form?
Yeah.
Really?
Like Gail Simone is, she left Batgirl to, this is one of the projects she's been doing for DC.
Awesome.
Pretty good.
Love it.
Happy about that.
I'll do that. There was another weird like TV kind of thing, but I forgot.
This week?
Yeah.
I don't know. S.H.I.E.L.D. had their promo put out for their next season. You know, the S.H.I.E.L.D.
Don't watch. Should we watch more of this stuff?
There's a lot of hype for the next S.H.I.E.L.D. season. I feel like they are kind of gung-ho in fixing the equation, which I don't think they're going to do a good job of. I think that show is just doomed through and through.
Yeah.
Should we try harder for this type of stuff?
Yeah.
No, because TV sucks, man. Like that certain brand of television. Like I'll never get into Arrow for the pure fact of it has the Smallville DNA in it, and you even say that that's part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like the structure of that. I don't like the way that network shows are structured. It's so stagnant and like
formula.
Juvenile. Yeah,
yeah.
So like, I think these type of shows are just kind of doomed. I don't think they know how to make a good show. I think it's gonna be 10 years from now we're actually gonna get like good program. I don't think the Netflix stuff is gonna be any good at all.
Watch Gotham, man. I think that's gonna be all right.
I hope so. I think that's the one that has probably the biggest chance of actually being a decent show.
Yeah, because you can't spread your budget over costumes that you know you're not really going to see. If it was a straight up cop show, that'd be awesome. If it was based on Gotham Central, without like little things here and there, that would be fantastic.
That would have been the perfect show. Yeah. I kind of wish that they did that instead of this, because you could still have just the way they did it on Gotham Central, where Batman is this character that's talked about but never really seen.
Right.
Or, like, just get a glimpse of him.
I think that's going to be the cool thing about Gotham, is that you're going to get, like, your hints of Batman.
Well,
you know?
Well, did you hear the thing with the Joker?
No.
There's a rumor that part of the, like, every episode, like, the first episode, you see, like, a stand-up comedian, you know, performing for Fish Mooney, played by Jada Pinkett Smith. and, like, they kind of give a nod that he could be Joker. But I heard that every single episode they're going to show another character, introduce a character, whatever, that could be like Joker before he was Joker.
Okay.
Which is a cool way of playing with it.
Yeah.
The problem I have with the show, not so much the Smallville stuff, I know that they're going to get so impatient and they're going to we got to put Batman in the show somehow.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do Batman. And they're going to somehow make the show go 10 years in the future and just become a Batman show and not be about the supporting cast.
I don't have a problem with that. If there was an awesome produced Batman TV show, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
But I don't think they could do it. Like, what channel is it going to be on? WB?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
The CW. It hasn't been called a WB in like 15 years.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's why you don't watch TV. You can't read.
Yeah. You saw the frog? Is the frog still around?
No. Frog's dead. What I'm looking for, and I feel like this would probably happen too, is you're not going to get, you know, like Batman showing up. Maybe he'll show up and, like, you'll see him in a shadow or you'll hear a voice in the shadow. Well, great work today, guys.
He's a kid on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, on Arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on Gotham, you're going to get, like, hints of, like, weird DC stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Like Calendar Man.
Yeah, you're going to get Calendar Man.
That's fine. Like, I think that the inherent idea of showing, like, the prequel to all these villains and supporting cast, I think, is cool. But I think somehow they're just going to ruin that somehow. They're doomed.
We'll see. Are you stoked for Walking Dead's coming back?
Have you finished watching?
No, not at all. I'm like so behind. We should really be more into this stuff if we're going to talk about it every week.
I know.
There's too. We fall into that that category of like, you know what? Like, I have a specific amount of time every week that I dedicate to what I like, and unfortunately, you know, it's a lot of programming.
Yeah. And no, it is also like, I think that, I mean, the way I view and read stuff is like, if it's halfway shit, I'm not going anywhere near it. Like, yeah. I have very little faith in it. That's why it's so hard for me to get to a new show, because the pilot episode is always probably the worst episode of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hammy. But stuff goes, you know, better as we go along, and they yeah. get into their own groove. Same with The Strain. The Strain is one of the weirdest, worst pilots I've ever seen, with an inherent good idea,
uh-huh.
and it gets very good as it goes.
Does
along.
It?
Yeah.
Are you a big Strain fan?
No, I just started. I'm like fourth or fifth episode into it, and I really like it.
Okay.
I remember what my point was. It's hot.
That's hot in here.
Oh, but I think that there's a I don't want to waste my time with like all this stuff. That's a lot of time. 2-3 hours, 4 hours. I got the stuff I got to watch. Comics, I give all the time in the world to.
Give me some comics news.
What else do we have going on this week? Wesley Snipes is rumored to return as Blade. Again,
love it.
What we, you know, where it's going to happen, who knows? Yeah. I think probably on the Netflix stuff.
Love it. I want it to happen. Yeah, Netflix looks good.
Yeah, Daredevil's going to fight Morbius, and mm-hmm. then Blade's going to show up.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, all right, second Blade movie is a great Marvel movie.
Yeah.
The first one, it was good, but I feel like it's also an undercredited movie.
First
it was
one?
A good flick, but it was still like, they're still like working out the bugs. The second one was way better, yeah.
The first one was awesome, but you're right about that. It's very juvenile. And,
yeah. Not even juvenile. It's just, it's a little too formulaic, you know? Like, when I look at the first Blade movie, you can almost cut it with the Tom Jane Punisher movie.
Yeah, okay, I can see
you know,
that.
Where it's
yeah.
like that formulaic kind of like, this is how we make a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And then you can even cut that in. You're going to get on Netflix. You're going to get just Punisher, Daredevil, and Elektra, and Blade 1 just like spliced in with overdubbing.
I hope not. I want a little bit better than that.
But I think you're going to get some cool Blade stuff now, because like, he loves the character.
Oh.
And with the Marvel Netflix thing, I'm banking on it going more of like a Supernatural. Not the show Supernatural, but a more Supernatural route.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think they could do stuff with the character. I think I do like Wesley Snipes enough to know that he does this. And he's itching. Like, he's coming back from prison.
He's ready out.
I know. I'm saying, like, this is like he's hungry for a role. Like, he did Expendables, didn't he?
He did Expendables. Apparently, did you see the Expendables 3?
No.
Interesting little note on that. Apparently,
you saw it?
No. Apparently Schwarzenegger and Jet Li's character are lovers in the
yeah.
That was like the reveal at the end of the flick.
Oh man,
kind of interesting.
I haven't seen any Expendables.
I'm in the middle of the second one, and then I kind of just got sick of it. They're weird movies, man. They're really weird movies. I could see the appeal, obviously, you know, because that's the stuff we grew up with.
Yeah,
but
that gets tired very quickly.
It gets old quick. The first one got old quick.
Yeah.
The second one, like, it was a weird. When you say got old quick, honestly, I was watching the second one and I'm home and I'm just like, all right, yeah, explosions. Yeah, one-liners, explosions. Well, I'm going to go to bed. And
yeah.
That's it. You know, like, it's just like, and I didn't pick it up again. I had no interest in seeing, like, what was the end of the movie.
That's the way I watch all these action movies now, because they're still doing the same shit that they've been doing for 20 years, and it's very, you know,
yeah.
Like, Godzilla was exactly that. Like, Godzilla was the perfect formulaic thing, and it's as different as Edge of Tomorrow and fun as it was. It was still following that action movie thing.
Yeah. Plus, like, Stallone, man. Like, I love Stallone, but at the same time, I'm like,
sucks, man.
Like, give it up, dude.
Yeah.
He's like older Stallone, apart from, I like Rocky Balboa and I like Rambo, but those were also, like, made many years ago at this point, and this guy's still making an Expendables movie. My thing, Expendables 2, he's got a weird mustache in it. just, like, bothering me the whole time. To me, he's that guy you see on the street who's like really old, but he's wearing like an Ed Hardy shirt.
Yes,
and he's like real jacked and tan.
All of the wrestling that we watch,
right? Yes, he looks like an old club promoter.
But we would be talking about him if it wasn't for an incredible Rambo sequel.
Yeah,
like that was what got him back a thing, and like he just happened to cash in and call a bunch of old timers and make Expendables. Expendables script was written like overnight.
Yeah.
Like I think he started promoting the movie before he even had anyone signed up. He made the logo and started putting it on Twitter.
I remember that, yeah.
Spendle's coming.
But the cool thing about that is, like, the cool thing about the franchise is, I don't know how we started getting talking about Expendables, but I had a lot to say about Expendables. The interesting thing about the franchise is that you get that nostalgic kick because you keep hearing, oh, he's going to be in Expendables 4.
Yeah, like, but that's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's a, I think like you get like the most enjoyment. It's like, oh snap, this guy joined the movie.
Terry Crews,
yeah,
also was in like all
bad movie.
Not the best. Like, they could be so much better. I was never sold on Jason Statham.
Really?
Yeah, Hogan. I loved his. Yeah, Hogan's gonna be in four. Apparently.
Hogan, Nash, and Hall.
I don't think it's gonna happen. I really don't think four's gonna happen because of the entire disaster of
straight
three
to DVD.
Yeah, because three was leaked a week before it.
Really?
It dropped. It was on the internet a week before.
Like a quality copy.
Perfect screener copy. Yeah.
Wow.
Destroyed it.
I'll make a mental note of that.
Yeah. It's out there.
Yeah, it's like to go again. Like, I don't want to go back to the wrestling stuff that we just finished talking about, but Hogan, I think Hogan's, he keeps saying shit that has no bearing on anything. Yeah. And one of the things he said was, you know, like, I'm going to go for Expendables 4, brother.
Yeah. I mean, that's his history of just creating his own story.
But then, like, if you put Hogan in Expendables 4, who's left? You got to put Mr. T in Expendables 4.
We've had Mel Gibson.
Harrison Ford was another possible. He was in 3.
Harrison Ford, yeah, he was in it. Yeah.
He was in 3.
Everyone was in it. Almost all the 80s fixtures. Like, they need like Michael J. Fox.
Bill Murray.
Yeah,
just
Bill Murray. The entire cast of Ghostbusters.
Was Brian Bosworth in it?
I don't think so. I don't think Brian Bosworth does anything anymore.
Was American Ninja in it?
Definitely not. You know what? I think Michael Dudikoff was in the movie.
Who?
Michael Dudikoff.
Yeah, Michael Dudikoff.
Yeah.
David Duchovny.
Too busy.
Nah, he's never like an action guy. But you need you need Dudikoff in it.
I like Dudikoff.
Maybe Ralph
and
Macchio.
That black guy too, who used to be his partner, the guy with the mustache. The guy had guns. He was a Marine. He's the one that rescues Dudikoff. I used to watch a lot of American Ninja.
I used to love those.
Yeah. Very unhappy when they replaced Dudikoff.
Yeah. I think that was 3 when they replaced him, right?
Like 3 or 4, and then they brought him back for like to watch him die, like the beginning of an episode of a movie.
One, Christopher Lambert.
Christopher Lambert, he would do it in a heartbeat. I kind of feel like he's done it already.
Like he just showed up in 2.
He has carrying boxes in the background.
They're weird. It's such a crazy thing because you eat that up. Like Vin Diesel probably at some point. Actually, not anymore. That guy's group, man. Movies are so crazy, especially when you get to that kind of level of moviness. And when we were talking about how the Marvel flicks are going to like just encompass everything at one point, if they keep getting more successful, that everybody's going to want to jump on. So you're going to have the dudes who are in the Expendables movies trying to be in Marvel flicks.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
You're going to seed off. Or Star Wars movies.
Or Star Wars flicks, you know. As fans, and we talk about this every single week, I think as fans, the fiction, the hyper fiction that's coming our way as far as film goes is tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, you know, you haven't seen Guardians yet.
No.
But, like, watching a movie like that compared to Godzilla and Edge of Tomorrow is like it's going like 10 years into the future in terms of where you can bring these type of movies.
Yeah.
About how conscious of it. If its own type of storytelling and kind of going in a different direction of what the norm is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've had, like, during the 80s, it was fantastic. We had, you know, Die Hard worked, Predator worked.
Rambo
worked, Terminator worked. Like, all those things were, like, they were cool. Because we'd never had anything like that before. Like, seeing another guy, like, seeing, like, the Equalizer with Denzel Washington, remake of a really pretty subpar movie, does not look good.
I'm excited for that.
But you know what?
There's one reason too, because I want to see the badass, angry Denzel Washington.
But I feel like that guy is also another one that could drop in Expendables. He's like getting close to that point where he's making the same freaking movie over and over again.
You know who he's gonna be in Expendables? He's gonna be Wesley Snipes' character from what's the name?
New Jack City?
No. Demolition Man. He's the prisoner that gets out.
It'd be Troy.
You know, he'd make a great villain for like the Expendables.
Yeah, he would.
And you know what else is like crazy too? That new Mel Gibson, not Mel Gibson, Liam Neeson, a new Liam Neeson flick where it's called like something of a tombstone.
Oh, a walk amongst the tombstones.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Did you make that up?
No, it's a walk amongst the tombstones.
That's cool. Yeah. Liam Neeson has found new lifeblood in his movie characters because he's a dude who answers his phone, and the entire commercial is him on a phone talking like real low,
which is a shame because it's tired already. Like every one of those that guy's movies has been the same. It gets moderate bank, yeah. And I love Liam Neeson. Like I think he's awesome. I think he's another guy who's being underutilized.
Expendables, bro.
Yeah, you could do better things with these guys. There's better scripts out there. I just saw Rob Roy for the first time in a long time.
Yeah,
you ever see Rob Roy?
Long time ago. Yeah.
Oh, what a freaking movie.
Yeah.
Him and Tim Roth. Little guy, big guy.
Yeah.
Awesome
yeah.
combo.
Was that going to lead into something?
No. Just
talking about Liam Neeson.
Just want to just pitch Tim Roth. He needs more work.
Are we done with news?
No, we actually have two more pieces of news.
Let's go.
What does that say? I'll leave that for later. this January.
Yeah.
Because we're leaving the station on our old crossover in Marvel.
Right.
And now we're going right into our new crossover in Marvel,
right.
Access, which
right.
I'm really excited for, as I usually am for most Marvel crossovers. Mm. So right before whatever happens and whatever they're teasing a reboot, I don't think it's going to really happen. Or something major is going to happen with this. But they're only releasing two comics on January 1st.
Okay.
Actually, January 31st. December 31st. I know how much
it's got to be one of them.
Shield number one.
Mm-hmm.
And another book, which they say is going to change the face of Marvel. People are speculating it could be this rumored astonishing Avengers book, because apparently the current iteration of Avengers is done with in a few issues.
Yeah.
It could be Wolverine number one. Could be
no.
one of the things. Could be. Whatever it is, I think is going to be very indicative of where Axis is currently going in terms of how it's going to reorganize. I don't think it's going to be a reboot. I think it's going to be much more of a reorganization and possibly incorporating other timelines and dimensions and crap and trying to iron everything out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking forward to that. You know, like, especially the way, like, I really enjoyed the last issue of Original Sin.
I don't know about that.
Yeah? Tell me why you hated it.
Because it's exactly what we said was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was everything that we said from issue one.
Mm.
It was like, who's the most obvious person that could do this?
Right.
Nick Fury. He's like, what's going to happen to Winter Soldier? Is he going to become the new Watcher on the Wall? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is Nick Fury going to become the next Watcher? Yes. Everything. Boom, boom, boom. There's a lot of cool stuff in the storyline.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I think the issue looks great. I think that I really enjoyed the story overall. I just think that they have a problem with, like, sticking the landing with all their crossovers.
Okay.
And, like, I feel like this one had the most potential to be really friggin' awesome. I think it could have been so much, the payoff could have been that much better, or at least a little bit more organic.
What did you want out of it?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to be, like, I've always said, like, I want to be surprised. I want to be, you know, intrigued. I want to be coming back for the next thing. When you show your hand that early in the game, you're just going through the motions. Like, that's what I felt was, like, here are all the pieces we're gonna put in front of the table. Hear the obvious things that can happen, and those are all the obvious things.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the fact there's a Nick Fury-centric story. I love there was a mystery involved with it. I hate the mystery was so easily solved.
Mm.
I love the fact you got the Grant Morrison Marvel Boy characters incorporated in
it.
Love the stuff with the orb. That was probably the best stuff. Loved the wacky, like, assassin team of, like, Moon Knight and all these dudes.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I thought it was really, you know, that ending really takes away a lot for me.
I enjoyed it, and I didn't mind that we figured it out issue one, page one, issue one, you know, but the thing that kind of bothered me about it was the reactions of the, like, everybody just showed up, did their thing, and we're like, all right.
Yeah, the way Cap handled it, everything is like, what went on here? Nobody tells me anything. It's like, I'm out of here.
All right, later. And then, like, yeah, and it kind of, like, I know something else is brewing, which is going to lead into Access and all that stuff, which is fine. But I kind of wanted a little more meat on that end. I liked how Orb surfaces as, I guess, like the supreme voyeur.
Yeah.
What's it, Oblique? Obliette?
Obliette, yeah.
Has her dad's powers now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. I like the unseen thing. I wonder how that's going to play into the future, which is kind of interesting. Like, is he just going to be chained up to the moon?
Which is cool.
Forever.
That's cool. Like, I think the idea is cool. And I think when we first talked about it, you know, 8 months ago, it was still cool.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with that is, aside from the predictability, it's like this is another way of burying, you know, a non-Samuel Jackson Nick Fury.
Okay.
By taking him out of the picture. Like this, I think the biggest point of this story was to rationalize why there is no old school Nick Fury in this like scheme of things anymore.
Okay.
We have Nick Fury, like the Nick Fury Jr. is regarded as Nick. People have accepted him. He's acting the same way that Nick Fury
does.
Yeah. Same exact role. And this is just a way for us to like, oh, you know what? Pretty damn good story. Like, I believe that he can be the Watcher.
Mm. Well, I mean, see, that's the thing, too, where, like, it could be Marvel kind of just, like, rehashing old ideas where now Silver Age Nick Fury is no longer Nick Fury. And
the
now
Spectre.
You have, like, modern age. Yeah, you know.
It's the Hal Jordan Spectre thing.
Mm-hmm. I think at one point he's going to be Nick Fury again. You know,
of
you're
course.
Gonna get, like, all that stuff coming back. The Cap thing I really want resolved. I feel bad for not being up on my Cap because I feel like
really good.
With all this, with all the Avengers stuff and all the new Avengers, like the time travel crap that he's going through, that's the one. But for as far as a reader, being a reader goes, that's the one missing piece of the puzzle, you know, where like he's going through a lot. In the last 2 or 3 years of Marvel, Captain America has gone through a hell of a lot of shit.
And still continuing to go through a lot of shit.
Yeah, it's like a betrayal left. You would think that he's dying instead of Wolverine.
Yeah, and like it's a good segue, but I'm not going to go there yet.
I wasn't trying to segue. I don't know.
Catch up with it, because I do want to have like a good talk about this, because I think it's a very unusual, interesting run.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like back in the day, we were the only ones that reading like the Punisher and Mender stuff.
Right.
Pre-Franken Castle, like all the cool stuff with the Hood and those guys, where it was just really good storytelling. I love the Arnim Zola stuff.
Yeah.
And the fact that what he's gone through, his son, his wife, his fiance, and his like losing the years. And then on top of that, now he's a friggin' old man.
Right.
And it's great because you read last week's Avengers, obviously.
Yes.
So like he's traveled through time, knows how everything's going to kind of play out for the most part. Plus he's up against Tony and he's going against after the Illuminati.
Right.
And then he loses, like right after all this happens, he's assembling the Avengers team, and then he loses all of his powers.
Right.
And now he's in the role as the commanding force for his Avengers, like him being the master strategist, which is pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, as an old man.
Yeah.
It's interesting, man. Like, it's one of those books I fell off with, you know, not because I didn't like it, because I love all the Remender stuff, and, you know.
Yeah.
If I followed him through, the Zolaverse stuff, I would catch up on it, but it just kind of fell by the wayside, And I love all the Cap stuff that's going on right now.
That's a lot, which I feel like they're going to kill him off.
It's New Avengers, right? The time-traveling Cap, or is that Regular Avengers?
Regular Avengers.
Regular Avengers. I thought that was awesome. That's a great ending, too.
Yeah.
That book came out last week, right?
Yeah.
About how, like, he just met the Triple Kangs, you know, and then basically he was like, what Hawkeye told him, you know.
There's always a plan B.
Right, you know. I loved it.
I like the idea that they're not writing Iron Lad out of the equation because he's such an awesome part of that trinity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like him, that introduction, the idea of him being this you know, good human being that hung out with, well, it's four, including Ramatut.
Right.
But I really enjoy the fact that he's kind of like the more benevolent version of Immortus.
Right, yeah.
But also at the same time, just as crazy as the rest of his iterations.
Exactly. I find that character fascinating too.
Love Kang.
You know, just like the Kang, because how he's just a despot, you know, for the most part. And then Immortus is kind of, I never really figured out Immortus, like good guy, bad guy, kind of like did interfere. Could you trust him?
Well,
he always shows up with like, Avengers, I have to tell you something, believe me, I know I'm gonna be Kang, but believe me,
I'm a good guy. He's after Kang. He's gone through his conquering stage, and now is this guy who lives in like an ice castle, like a crystal castle.
And he shows his face.
Well, and also like from, you read the Uncanny Avengers from the other week also? Mm-hmm. With like he also had that point where like everyone's going to work, everything's going to work out, guys. Like everything is going to work out. But Havoc, you will be a monster.
Yep.
You're an ugly, ugly monster.
Forever. Disfigured Havoc.
Yeah. Reminder. Cap, but like you should pick up on Cap.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Like I kind of was gonna fall into the same thing, but there was enough. I kind of knew there was gonna be something big happening with him, and I was super invested into the Zola storyline.
Yeah. Well, you're also the biggest Cap fan I know.
I am the biggest Cap fan.
You love Honor. Captain America.
Love Captain America.
Yeah. You should get a Captain America tattoo.
No. I'll get the Winter Soldier, Red Star.
Just like the star.
Red Star.
People might think that's just a Heineken tattoo.
I do love Heineken.
True. All right.
picking up from your segue, Death of Wolverine.
Yeah.
First issue.
Haven't read a Wolverine book in a very long time.
It's a good thing.
I dropped the Cornell stuff.
Very good thing.
Which I hope has nothing to do with this.
It does.
I know it kind of does about losing the powers thing.
Right.
But.
As far as it goes.
Okay. If that's as far as it goes, then. You know what? I dug it.
Remember Wolverine during that storyline where he was fighting the dude. Like, he was dying, and he was fighting, like, this guy who's, like, the embodiment of death, like a samurai. And he was fighting the damage control people, and Midoriya was drawing a lot of this stuff.
I think so, yeah.
Like, when we were working, the story was coming out. It was really, like, there's a whole big conspiracy that had to deal with Civil War. Mm-hmm. And he kept on dying. They tell, like, he can't die, because every time he dies, he goes and he fights death. And he comes back to life. Really terrible shit. It's the same level of shit
okay. That
the Cornell stuff was.
All right.
Really bad.
That's a shame, too, because I like Paul Cornell stuff.
So do I.
I dug the issue. I picked it up based on, like, almost Wolverine nostalgia, where I was like, you know what? Like, I'm not 100% sold on Charles Soule.
I like him a lot.
I like him, but I'm not 100% sold on him. I feel like, I was saying this at the store the other day, where I know the guy's like a maniac because he puts out 8 books a month, but I also feel like he's another, and this is my own opinion, like, he's another kind of like Cullen Bunn guy, where Marvel can say, like, you know what? Crank out a bunch of books. They don't really have to be.
Yeah.
You don't have to knock them out of the park. We just want them on the shelves, you know. But this book was very interesting. I kind of really liked it. I want to see where it goes. It had a very...
How do you feel about Fat Nuke?
I like Fat Nuke.
Me too.
I was going to mention that too. Yeah. But it had a very kind of like Wolverine Origins feel to
yes.
it. You know, where like he's on his own. You don't really know what's going to happen.
It's a setting you haven't seen in a while too.
Right. You know.
You have like the Canadian wilderness and like him at a bar, plaid,
being Logan, and it starts out with Reed basically telling him like, "Can you just stop being Wolverine for a few days and you'll be okay? You know, like don't pop, don't use your claws, chill out." He's like, "But somebody's coming after me, Reed.
Everybody's coming after you.
I need help." What do you think?
I dug it. I was surprised how much I really liked it. I think McNiven on anything helps sell the book.
Yes,
so much more.
A little too short for my liking.
Yeah, it was all ads, right? Mm. It's pretty much all ads.
Well, there was like the supplement, which was the making of it.
I think that's every Wolverine thing we've ever had for the last 10 years. It's always been some director's cut garbage in the back, like a bunch of blue lines and stuff you just read, which I really don't need right away.
Mm.
I liked it. I think it's you know what's happening at the end of the storyline.
Right.
I'm not thrilled about Viper being used. I've never been that big of a fan of Viper as a big bad guy. I like her. Using small doses like for Hydro or whatever. But I thought it was good. I thought it was a nice, like what you said, like with Origin, where it's a back to basics, tough guy. And it's the first time, because the Cornell stuff is so shit that it's so mishandled the idea that that's the comic where he lost his powers. So like it's so mishandled the idea of giving Wolverine, for the first time in a long time, a weakness and working with it properly and putting it. I think this dude has that much of a better chance. And another thing about Charles Soule. Soule is a soul?
I think it's Soule.
Soule. I'll go with Soule.
Soule.
Soule. I'll go with Soule. Soule, I think every Marvel guy who comes over goes to that rite of passage of being the guy who's going to work all the main series, all the annuals and everything.
Yeah.
And I liked Bunn a great deal when he first came, when he was doing The Sixth Gun,
mm-hmm.
What the fuck it's called, Sixth Gun, I think he lost a step by being overused, and now he's so awesome on Magneto.
Yeah,
you read Magneto still? Really?
No, I haven't picked up one issue. I have the first 2 issues at home. I haven't read it.
Oh man,
yeah,
man, that has creeped its way into like one of the best Marvel books I have going on.
The thing with me about an X-Men books is that I'm a child of the '90s, so I'm. Always very. I'm just like, I don't need this like extraneous X-Men title.
Absolutely, that is the one book where it has meaning and it's really, really well done.
Yeah,
like that is in the same caliber as like Moon Knight and like the other like the Hawkeye style books.
I'll check it out.
All right. That is now leaking it. You can see it's gonna be a big part of Access.
Okay,
very good. I'll give you the issues.
Continue.
I gotta give you a lot of stuff. What were we talking about before Magneto?
Talking about
Death of Wolverine.
Yeah.
I like the usage of Nuke. I always like the uses of Nuke.
Yeah.
It felt, I guess maybe because of McNiven, it felt like old school, like Civil War era Marvel put out this book.
Yes, I'll agree with that too. Because I was flipping through it at the store, and I'm like, oh, it's kind of like it gives you that old man Logan feel because he did old man Logan.
Yeah.
We know it's not permanent.
Well, the rumor is that he's not coming back till at least 2016.
Great, that's fine. Yeah. Keep him off the shelf for a couple of years, and then have him come back. Yellow costume, Wolverine number one, yellow costume variant, brown costume.
I want
variant.
Brown costume, man. Mile and Arrow doing him with his butt sticking out.
How? We did talk about that.
We did.
How are like? What's going to be the death of Wolverine?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I think just on the way that they're portraying him in the first issue, that he is going to go out like the cowboy, walking the sunset, dying alone, and
on
like
an
just
island.
Yeah, like and just collapsing, and then he died like from fighting everybody. And of course, Sabretooth is going to have something to do with it
because that's how you want Wolverine to die.
Yeah,
you want him just to like.
I want him to go out like an Unforgiven. Like I want this guy like really going to the end of his rope and just being this really, you know, sad death.
Yeah.
I want it to be good. I want them to be able to pull this off.
I feel like part of me feels like there's going to be a swerve and there's going to be kind of like a thing where somebody saves him and takes
doesn't
him
tell anybody
and takes him away.
Yes.
And,
I mean,
you know.
But that also has been every single ending that Marvel loves to do. And I love that crap too.
Yeah.
Adam
Warlock's going to show up.
Or they show him like being reborn as a little boy so they can do like Teen Wolverine for like the next few years.
Like Dragon Ball?
Yeah. I hope they can stick the landing with this one. Like, I think it's something that we're all very wary of. I think we're all kind of like, you know, oh, the death of this character. I think it's good. I think taking Wolverine out of the equation with everything that's going on, the X-Men stuff is really a fascinating point of story, especially his impact in Avengers.
Yeah.
I hope it has something to do with access. I hope somehow this is like a inciting part of where this is all going. Because that would make sense, right?
Yeah. No, here's an ending for you.
Mm.
Because of the whole Madripoor stuff, because that's always firmly entrenched into the Wolverine culture. Again, it could be a figurative death of Wolverine where he becomes the king or president of Madripoor and just goes by Patch again.
Yeah. But then you know they're going to wait a month to use him then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel if he's on the table in any way, like if they do an ending where, like, he assumes a new identity. Yeah, it's coming. Like, it's going to be happening sooner than later, which is more likely probably what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Knowing Marvel, it's like, I feel like they would also jump the gun on bringing the sucker back. But they've had a good history of actually keeping some people dead. Like, I'm so surprised Jean Grey hasn't come back. I'm surprised that Bucky is back and utilized really well. So they do, if anyone else that can do it, I think they may be able to keep this guy off the table. Let these people be haunted by him.
I think so. I think I agree with that. Jean Grey is like kind of an interesting thing because like it's always hinted at, but it's like it'll never happen.
Well, now they got. I mean, they worked around it by having young Jean Grey, which is probably even more fascinating character than seeing another returned Jean Grey.
Right. And who else haven't they brought back? They kind of brought back the Sentry.
They brought him back, but that's different. I think that's an exception to the rule.
Banshee.
Yeah, those guys like I feel are just because they're such an awesome return and they make them new characters.
Mm-hmm.
Through that way,
I think we were going to see Banshee return as like pipe smoking Banshee.
Yeah, I think so.
Dakin also. Ares still missing.
Yeah,
they were the only dudes who give a shit about Ares.
I can't believe that, man. It's so disappointing.
It is very disappointing. He was awesome.
But I think they figured that Thor is so loose now in his character that he's so like such an awesome character. He's been carrying on an axe. Like we can't have two awesome.
Axe dudes
coming out?
No axe dudes. I don't know, man. I feel I always had that fear of like, you know, I don't mind if the character is just like not around because you can have him not be around in Marvel canon, but you could also crank out one shots or like miniseries.
Well, they're doing that.
That are non canon.
Logan's Legacy is also going along with all this crap.
There you go. You know, and so you'll have like your taste of Wolverine. As far I kind of also feel like it's going to be a metaphorical death and not a true like his Sabretooth rips his heart out and eats it in front of him. I'd like to see that too, but you know,
yeah,
runs over his head with a truck and
well, I mean with him dying and with Axis coming on and supposedly the Axis storyline is swapping you know good guys for bad guys or the exact opposite. I feel like they're going to utilize Sabretooth as Wolverine. Yeah. Plus, you know the story. You know, like the whole storyline is somehow linked to someone getting a bunch of adamantium. The death of Wolverine, because they're collecting all this adamantium crap. They mentioned my boy Battlestar.
Right. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
About that.
I think he's gonna die at like when what's his name? How he died at the end of Sopranos, at the gas station.
Oh,
the truck just rolls over his head.
I would like that. I would like a very not so much memorable, but very ordinary death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he just has gets a
like
heart
two. Like he just like he beats all the odds, and just like his aging just gets the better of him, and he dies in the bed with like holding the Storm's hand.
I kind of want to see like where it goes, because like you can do
I
so many
see
things.
Him crying by the end of the storyline too.
I don't. I want his last line to be, "And I never cried."
He always cries.
The end. Or like, I'll be back.
Do you want the fixtures of the cabin and Silver Fox somehow put into the storyline?
I want everything. I want everything Wolverine thrown into this.
I want like, all the Larry Hama stuff.
There's so much. The crazy thing about you can talk about. We can do a million shows. This show could it be dedicated entirely to Wolverine
for 3 years.
Because there's so much crap with the character. Not crap like in a bad way, but there's so much history to the character. That's been thrown in there since day one.
And thrown away.
And it's, you know, how many, and the categories are, how many chicks has he lost? How many love affairs has he had?
All of them.
How many, like, apart from the Weapon X stuff, like, how much secret espionage stuff has he done since the 1800s?
Yeah.
There's all that stuff. There's World War II stuff.
There's always a Sabretooth storyline with him in a war somewhere.
Sabretooth stuff, the Cap stuff. There's him joining the X-Men. Him founding the school.
Hudson stories.
Wolverine in space. Hudson stories. Oh, I always forget about the Hudson story. I don't mind those. The Hudson stories. Him and Professor X. Him and Magneto getting the adamantium ripped out. Being a savage. Being death. Being Canadian. Department. What was the Canadian?
Department H.
Department H.
Department Hudson.
What's
his name?
The Japanese stuff.
The fucking, what's his name? The guy who is like the ultimate Wolverine. He was a bad guy in Wolverine Origins for a long time. He was the bad guy. Like, he was the one that was, he created Weapon X, and he was a big, gigantic, like, he had
Romulus?
Romulus, yeah. Yes. The cat the, people stuff.
Cat people stuff. You got the Romulus stuff. You have, like,
Sex Wolverine, the one that, the one comic we really like where he was cutting people's hair and stuff like that.
The best there is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have
all the origin stuff.
All the origin stuff. The Japanese Wolverine stuff, which is, that's like a monkey wrench for me, because that, like, now he's forever associated with ninjas, Japan,
yeah,
Madripoor, yeah, the Gam, like the Married to Viper,
mm-hmm,
the Jean Grey obsession,
mm-hmm,
the Storm stuff,
mm-hmm,
just like so much
Wolverine. Jubilee's father.
Jubilee's father.
Kitty Pryde's father.
The, like, his own daughter, the Yukio stuff.
Yukio.
X-23. The clone spawner.
The legacy of Sabretooth.
Yep.
Wild Child somehow worked into everything.
Dakin.
Yeah.
He's a dad. Yeah.
He's a dad.
Wolverine's dad.
Multiple father.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly grandfather.
The leader of Uncanny X-Force.
Yeah.
At one point.
The most notorious version of X-Force ever.
Right.
Murderer.
Uh-huh.
Avenger.
So you can do, and he's an Avenger, and you can do so much stuff.
Is that at all? I don't think there is a...
Went to hell.
Yeah.
Every time he dies, he fights demons to come back to life.
Yeah.
Spent a good time in hell.
Yeah.
There's gotta be more, man.
But that's the thing, I think that's a problem with, like, Wolverine's, like, ongoing series now, then why it's been so subpar for so long, is that so much has been done to this character.
Yeah.
And, like, because everyone wants to try something new with Wolverine when they come there.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think that stuff like Death of Wolverine, and what I'll always bring up every single time we talk about Wolverine, like, is the Greg Rucka stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that back to basics, truck stop,
yeah,
barroom brawler, the guy you can't trust, Wolverine.
Right.
I want that Wolverine.
Yeah.
Because we haven't had the iteration. Because even the version that we see in movies, as awesome as Hugh Jackman is as Wolverine, is the Wolverine that we saw past the 90s, that's there now.
Yeah.
That's the guy who is the benevolent leader, who is the guy you can trust. For years, Wolverine was the friggin' asshole.
Yeah.
That would always turn his back on the team and be selfish.
Right. Ride a motorcycle into town and, like, start a bar fight.
Yeah. Hate Cyclops.
Right. Like, that's like the Logan back to basics Wolverine, yeah, you know? I, again, feel like it's going to be him taken away and by, like,
Cyber.
No, not Cyber. What are the Gladiators people.
Oh, she are?
Does she, like, he's going to be taken, like, we can
fix it already, though.
He's going to be taken away to outer space somewhere, and then his last line, they're going to be like, you're healed up, you're ready. He's going to be in a white robe.
They did this already, though. This is a storyline. Yeah, this is what they did for when they revealed that he was a Skrull for years and that he was in, like, a Shi'ar. Oh,
okay.
Like, during the gym. Remember when they had the issue of, it's his favorite cover, the issue of X-Men with Jim Lee, where Wolverine is holding, they just revealed Professor X is back and he's been married to Lalandra for a long time. And he had a mask on and everything. And it covers him holding him in his robe. You know, he killed Xavier.
Yeah, yeah.
And they revealed that that whole era was actually all Skrull Wolverine. That he was in, like, you know, doing transcendental meditation with the Shi'ar the whole time. Everything has been done with Wolverine.
If that happens again,
I'm okay with it.
I'd want the last line of the book to be, I think I'm going to like it here.
That's it. The one thing I do know about the storyline is that this is going to result in a new Weapon X book.
Okay.
So I think that wherever this is going is obviously going to lead up to seeing Creeper Professor with one hand and Hines and all our favorite Wolverine characters. Oh, all the freaking Barry Windsor Smith stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is really, like, crazy Conan style, really visceral.
So much.
Half the story is him in a tube and a bunch of side characters talking around him.
I really want to see what
I miss that book, man.
Yeah.
Marvel Comics Presents was such a weird way of telling a story.
It was a good introduction to new artists, too, and writers.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Okay.
So, that's it, everybody.
You go now.
Been watching Behind the Counter. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep.
My name is Rich.
I'm John.
Good night.